was ministering to a family member this week, and I said, let's just cut to the chase, basically. I said, God's got your answer. Stop trying to figure it out in your head. Stop trying to figure it out by the counsel of other people. God's got your answer. Amen. He's got your answer this morning. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, are you ready for testimony time? I said, are you ready? These testimonies, I'm telling you, God's doing things around here. Amen. God's doing some things. And we need to be continuing to let people know what he's doing. You know, remember when Jesus healed the leper and he said, go show yourself. He said, he likes us to testify about what he's doing. It builds faith for people. Praise God. And I encourage you, please be getting your testimonies to me. I just received another wonderful one this morning that I'm excited to share next week. God's doing miracles around here. Hallelujah. Well, everybody, go ahead, Sandy, wave your hand. Everybody look over there, look for the hand waver. That's Sandy, because you got to know who I'm talking about. And this is a testimony from Sandy. And of course, if you give me a testimony, you never want your name used or certain things left out. You know, by all means, you just let me know. But she said, go ahead, use my name, use the whole thing. And so we're going to. But, you know, just recently we've shared a testimony of a lady in Allegheny who had a heart condition for 40 years. God healed her. Doctors can't figure out why. Vern, he's not here this morning. He was diagnosed with lymphoma back in May. He's now completely free of that cancer. Yeah, God's bigger than cancer. Praise God. Hallelujah. And Sandy wrote this testimony to me. She said, as I approach my 50s, man, Sandy, I thought you were still in your 30s. Fooled me. As I approached my 50s, I was experiencing symptoms of PMS, moodiness, fatigue, and hot flashes. I never considered asking God to heal me. I thought this was a natural progression of aging as far as I was concerned. Now, I want to stop right there real quick. I love that she put this in here, and I love her openness. You know, a lot of people think the same things, that that's just the status quo. That's what you have to have. No. When you're in God, you don't have to accept the status quo. The status quo is natural. God is supernatural. And I love that she put that. You know, she just figured, this is just what I have to deal with. The devil will tell you, that's just normal. That's just normal. That's what happens to people. Not in God, they don't have to happen. Amen. Hallelujah. I love what Caleb said over there, not my son, but Caleb in the Bible said in Joshua chapter 14, verses 10 and 11, he says, I'm 85 years old now. He says, the Lord's kept me these 40 some years since wandering in the wilderness. He says, I'm just as strong today as I was. And you think, that can't happen. With God, all things are possible. That's the problem. You don't believe God's big enough. Come on, it's true. And I love that she put that in there, that is natural progression. You know, according to your faith, be it done unto you. Yeah. That's just normal with my kids. That's just normal in my body. That's just normal part of life. Okay, that's what you're going to have, then you're going to have normal. But I'm not going to have normal. I'm going to have what God said. I'm going to have what an 85-year-old man can say, that I'm just as strong when I was 40 years ago. Come on. Yeah, well, that's just normal. That's just what happens as you get older. I'm not saying things, the body is completely the same as you get older until you die. Nobody's saying that. In fact, the Word says that the outward man will end up perishing. But we don't have to go out all withered and beaten and brittle. No, we don't. The Word promises we don't. But according to your faith, you be done to you. But anyways, see, Sandy, you got me preaching. That's a good testimony right there. So she said, so I struggled through these symptoms and I tried to treat it with an over-the-counter medication. She wrote, big mistake. As I began taking these pills, I started experiencing an excessive, heavy, constant flow of blood for a prolonged time, leaving me anemic and frustrated. As I look closer at the medication, it should not be taken if you have fibroids. Now, if you don't know what fibroids are, they're benign tumors that can be on the uterus that most women, a lot of women get them, but they never have any issue with it. But she said, if you should not take them if you have fibroids because it could cause severe bleeding. And she said, I had fibroids. So we have in-house our own woman with the issue of blood. Mark chapter 5, we had a woman with the issue of blood. We got our own woman with the issue of blood. She got nothing on you, Sandy. Nothing on you. Praise God. Said, I had fibroids, so I created a big problem out of what now seemed a minor inconvenience. I scheduled an appointment with a doctor and was given a prescription to control the flow of blood and was scheduled for a recheck in 2 weeks. It was at this point that you called out for healing after service, and I shot out of my chair and was the first one up front. She said, I knew, I love this, without a doubt that call was for me. Praise God. And I was ready to receive. As you laid hands on me, I knew I was instantly healed. I don't know how to explain it. I just knew it with certainty. So it was as no surprise that my recheck was without issue and I didn't have to go for any more appointments. God is good. Well, if he did it for the woman with the issue of blood, why would he do it for her? Amen. Hallelujah. I wondered if I should add the little bit further what she said in the email, and it seems good in my heart to share this, so I will. Thank you, Pastor Mike, for being the best pastor ever. That's what she said. I'm just telling the truth. That's what she said. Amen. That's my favorite part of the whole thing. Just kidding. Sandy, we love you. God's doing a work in Steve and Sandy. Praise God. Testimony, signs, and wonders. Hallelujah. Well, are you ready for the word? Amen. Father, we love you and praise you. We're so grateful, so thankful that you're the same today as you were in the Bible. You're the same healer. You're the same provider. You're the same deliverer. Father, you have the same strength, the same mercy, the same kindness. Lord, you never change. So what was available to them is available to us. And Father, I thank you for that testimony where you show us in the Word something that's available, and Sandy grabbed that, took that by force and believed you and received her healing and no longer struggles with an issue that she did. Thank you so much, Father. And you'll do that. What you've done for one, you'll do for us all. So Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the Word. As the Word goes forth, Father, I thank you. You'll speak through me. My words will not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you. I'll speak as the oracles of God this morning. I thank you. What that means, Father, is you're going to say stuff through me that's going to hit the heart of every person here. And it's going to be so supernatural that they're going to think to themselves, holy cow, how did he know that I needed to hear that? And it's not because of me, Lord. It's always because of you. But Lord, I'll be obedient to say what you want me to say. Thank you for helping people this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You know, if you don't think your pastor's the best pastor ever, you probably should go to the pastor that's the best pastor ever. It's true. I think my pastor's the best pastor on planet Earth. That's why he's my pastor. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So make me your favorite. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm joking. I have a very sarcastic sense of humor. But anyways, this is part two of our series that we started last week. And I don't know if this is going to lead into a bigger series or not. I'll see what the Holy Ghost says. I just started a new series in Allegheny last night, going further into some things. But we'll see what the Spirit wants to do around here. But we talked last week, and we're going to finish up this week, on biblical facts about money. What are some things that the Bible says about money? And the reason that it's important to share and talk about money, I know it can be a taboo topic in church, is because the number one reason that people sit across from the desk or across the phone line from me on the other end of the phone and they tell me what their problems are, the number one issue by far, this number two is not even on the radar, is money problems. And I talk with different pastors, you know, in the family churches and also different pastors, you know, around the country. And they tell me, by far, it's the number one issue that people struggle with in life is money problems. And the interesting thing about that, in marriages, the number one reason marriages struggle is finances. Number one, it's not even close. And the thing about it is God does not want you to struggle with money. He's your Father. What does money problems bring about? We know it brings about stress for people. Brings about anxiety, it brings about frustration, it brings about anger, it brings about fear, all sorts of things that God does not want for you. You say, well, how do you know, Pastor Mike, that God doesn't want it for us? Because he's put over 2,000 verses in the Bible concerning money and material things. Well, why would he do that? Well, the Bible says that the Word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. What does that mean? It means that He gives us the Word so we don't stumble around in the dark. He gives us the Word on finances so we know exactly what to do to not struggle. Amen. Hallelujah. And we don't want people struggling financially. And the body of Christ thinks wrong concerning money a lot of times, concerning money. And we get our answers of how we should think concerning money in the Word. You know, it was one of the subjects Jesus talked about the most. I've heard it said more than heaven and hell combined. And if that's not true, it's close. It's close because he talked so much about finances. Why? It's an area people need help with. But if you want to get help financially and you want to become financially free, you got to stop thinking and doing things your way. That's the problem. People think and do things their own way. Well, you ain't God. You're not as smart as him. You're not as wise as him. Praise God. So we need to think right concerning money. And it's not a topic that we can just sweep under the rug because it's uncomfortable to talk about. God needs, people say, Pastor, God doesn't need my money. Well, in heaven he doesn't, but down here he does. I don't know about you, but missionaries going around the world, preaching the gospel and telling people about Jesus, it's not a free trip. So many of the testimonies that we've had in here, people getting saved and set free and filled with the Holy Ghost and children getting on fire for God and healings and miracles and signs and wonders happened because this place was open. Lights aren't free. The heat's not free. The building's not free. The plan of God on the earth costs money to make it go forward. And we need God's plan to go forward. Well, I don't have on the regular people that are outside the church that are not even with God, don't want anything to do with God. They're not dropping off checks for the ministry. And we see in God's word that he always calls his people to fund his projects. Well, God can't expect you to fund his projects if you're broke and struggling yourself. Broke people are not very generous people. Broke people cannot help. People that are stressed out financially are not usually thinking big picture for the kingdom because they got such a mess on their hands themselves. We need that to turn around in your life. So last week we just looked at 2 points, and I'm just going to real quick go over what they are. You can listen on live stream or go back to the archives to see. But we're going to tell you what the Bible said about money. Not what Pastor Mike thinks, not what so-and-so thinks or what you've been taught. What does the Bible say about the subject of money? Well, number one, remember I said this? We're gonna have a hamburger service last week. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm not on no keto diet. Give me the bun. And I'm no vegetarian. I'll take the meat. I want the bun and I want the meat. Nothing against you keto people that are anti-carbohydrate. Nothing against you vegetarians that are anti-burger. But for me, I want the bun and the meat. Well, what's a hamburger service? Well, that bun is squishy and soft. You put that down first. Why? That's a soft place, a soft landing spot. And then, you know, you throw some meat in there. But then you top it off with a bun and make people happy again. Amen? Hallelujah. So we started last week. We laid down a bun, didn't we? And I told you, I didn't just make this up to make you feel good. It's the truth. Number one fact we see in the Bible about money, number one, not in the order of importance, but the way the Lord had me do this message and the way I put it, is God is for you having more of it. There's your bun. Why? We like hearing that. That God wants me to have more money. Well, what does it say? And go to, Michelle, if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18, I'm just going to share one or two scriptures on this review. We don't have time to preach the whole thing. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. I'm just going to keep going quick here. And if our computer, you know, holds up or whatever, you just follow along in the Bible. I'll just read it to you. But look what it says. You shall remember the Lord thy God. For it is he. It is he. Who? God. That gives you power. He gives you the ability, the power to get wealth. He's for you being wealthy. Amen. A lot of people don't believe that. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people aren't aware. Oh, God doesn't care about my money. No, the Word says. He'll actually give you the ability or the power to get wealth. Amen. Psalms 35 and verse 27. Psalms 35 and verse 27. See, we need to kick down the walls of religion that tell us God wants us poor and God doesn't care about this and that. No, you're his kid. How many of you parents in here don't give a rip about your kids? None of you. Well, I don't care if they're well provided for. I don't care if they have enough food. I don't care if they have enough clothing. I don't care if they have a fun Christmas. I don't care if they have this blessing. I just want them just to have the bare necessities and just skip by in life. You are a bad parent. No, y'all want your kids blessed. Y'all want them well fed. Y'all want them well clothed. Y'all want them to have some fun in life. Well, God's a better parent than you are. Amen. This religious thinking about God, we need to flush that down the toilet. Psalms 35:27 says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yes, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the poverty of his servant. No, God doesn't take pleasure when you are in poverty. No parent is glad to see their kids struggle. The Bible says God takes pleasure when you prosper. Well, he said, I'll make you get the power to get it, and then I take pleasure when you do it. Number one, the bun. God is for you having more money. But you know, you don't put down two buns. The bun comes at the end underneath. You don't go bun, bun, meat, bun. You go bun, meat, maybe some more meat. I was telling, I think it was Sandy I was talking last week. She remembers one time we were traveling to meet some friends in Pittsburgh. What was that sandwich I got at Wendy's? The triple baconator? I just had to try this thing. I mean, I just couldn't even fit it in my mouth. I tried as I was squishing that thing down. That was amazing. Bun, like I said, maybe meat, maybe more meat, maybe some more meat, then bun. But we don't go bun, bun. We go bun, meat. So we threw in some meat last week, didn't we? Yeah, we give you a little hamburger. We saw that with money, a biblical fact about money, it's not dollars and cents with God. And this is an area you need to renew your mind to. Because when it comes to biblical prosperity, it does not fall off a tree like a ripe piece of fruit into your lap. You have a part to play, just like you did in getting saved. Even though the word's will, God's will was, I want you born again. I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to go to heaven. Salvation didn't automatically come to you until you did your part. Financially, it's the same way, people. Oh, I desire that. I desire wealth. I desire increase. I desire my needs to be met. You have a part to play in it. Now, for those of you that are saying, my needs are met, not doing it God's way. Okay, but the danger. See, they're just trying to make me afraid. If it makes you afraid, fine. I'm just going to tell you what Jesus said. He said, when you don't do the word financially, don't do the word that he said, sorrow in your life. You know, there's CEOs all over America. They got the money. They don't have the peace. There's sorrow in their life. There's lack of joy. There's athletes. There's movie stars. They got all the money in the world, and they got all the sorrow that comes with it. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, when you do it the Lord's way, there's a blessing and adds no sorrow. Jesus said, if you do the word, you'll be blessed. If you don't, a crash is coming. So, oh yeah, your needs might be met. You might be driving your nice vehicle, and you might live in your nice home, and your kids might be provided for, but Jesus ain't a liar. And if you hear the word and don't do the word financially, he says, it's coming to be sorrow. There will be a crash. And that's what one of the things we'll talk about today. Praise God. And you go grab my phone. Actually, just turn that down to 70, would you? I don't need my phone. Would you turn that down to 70 back there, please? I'm getting myself all worked up. Say, well, Pastor, you're up there running around. What do you expect? Well, if you got to get up and run around a little bit to warm up in here, you go ahead and do that, okay? Praise God. But I'm about to die up here. You don't want that, do you? I mean, that'd be a testimony. Pastor Mike dies and raises from the dead, the service. I mean, that'll bring the people out. Hallelujah. So we saw it's not all dollars and cents with God, and I don't have time to teach this. But we saw that, and I'm going to give you these scriptures. Michelle, you just go to them real quick. Number one, money's a heart issue. Matthew 6:21 says, where your treasure is, that's your finances, your stuff, your substance. He said, your heart will be also. People all the time say, oh, Lord, and God's after your heart, by the way. Remember what he said about David? He said, David was a man after my own heart. David had a heart like me, praise God. He was so excited about David's heart. And people all the time say, I want a heart like God. I have a heart for God. You don't if your money's not going with him. Yep. Did you get it down? I don't need that then. He said that where your treasure is, your heart will be also. It's a heart issue. Oh, don't talk to me about my money. You have a heart problem. Oh, I don't want anything to do with what the Bible says about money. You have a heart problem. That's what Jesus said, not Pastor Mike. That does not say Michael. I did not write that. It's a heart issue. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it was talking about an offering being taken up. And Paul said this, I speak not by commandment. Now he's talking to a church that's taken up an offering, given money. But by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. What's that talking about? Well, the verse before, he said, you've abounded in all these different graces. But he said, now I want you to abound in the grace of giving. He said, I don't speak this by commandment to you, but I speak it because I want to prove and test the sincerity that you have. What's he saying? What you give will prove your sincerity towards God. Why? It's a heart issue. It's not just dollars and cents with God. It's so much more than that. So many people have the dollar bill between them and God. And we're talking more about it today. It's a problem. Oh, God, move on my family. I need a miracle in my home. I need a miracle in my spouse. I need a miracle in my body. And the almighty dollars between you and him. It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. This is the meat. Triple bacon eater is hard to take down sometimes. I know, it's hard to take down. But just keep working at it. You'll get it. You have to choke this thing down. We got to get it in you. Praise God. And then it said over there in Proverbs 3 and verse 9. Proverbs 3 and verse 9. See, God looks at things different than we look at things. Proverbs 3 and verse 9. And the way you'll be blessed is start looking at things his way. I finally had the epiphany when I was younger. You know, I ain't working my way. Sorrow my way, not blessing my way. Well, I just got on the God train. Things started changing. And they will for you too. Honor the Lord. Honor the Lord with. Honor the Lord with. Most of you ought to say, would you want to be honorable towards God? Yep, sign me up. I want to honor God. Who else would there be on planet Earth and anywhere else that you'd want to honor more than God? Nobody. Oh, I honor you, Lord. I honor you. Well, the one way you can honor him is honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of all your increase. Well, what have we seen here? It's a heart issue, it's a sincerity test, and it's an honor issue. Oh, I love you, Lord, but don't talk about my money. You have an honor problem. And the Lord said in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 38, they that honor me, I'll honor them. Amen. Praise God. It's up to you. It's up to you. Praise God. But someday you'll stand before Jesus, and you don't know what you're missing out on this earth by doing it God's way. Yeah, most people are so attached to their money. Why? It's their heart. Oh, I worked hard for that money, Pastor Mike. No way I'm tithing and giving an offering. Oh, really? Oh, really? Who gave you the air to breathe, to go that job? Who let you live in America? Who gives you the ability, the freedom? Without God, you're nobody. You're not even alive without him. He saved you and gave you Jesus. Don't talk to me. You know what it's like? It's like Adam and Eve. People are like Adam and Eve in the garden. What did God do? He said, the whole world's yours. And I'm going to put you right in the middle of the Garden of Eden, which translated in the original Aramaic is the garden of increase, the garden of abundance. And it was. There were more bananas and oranges and apples and grapes and cherries in that garden that they could ever partake of. Two people on the earth, Adam and Eve, and God stuck them right in the middle of abundance. He said, it's all yours except just one thing. And we look at them and say, that's ridiculous. They had everything, and they wanted to keep the one thing. And God looks at you and says, are you kidding me? I gave you my son. I've touched your family. 10%? 10%? And we get all tripped up over it. Honor, heart, sincerity problem. Yep, this is a triple decker. I'm telling you, it is. So that's where we got to last week. Go to Luke 16, 13. Let's go on. Biblical facts about money. We're not done with the meat yet. Luke 16 and verse 13. Now, I told you, I promised you last week, there'll be a bun at the end, and you'll want to hear that bun. Luke 16 and verse 13. Now, this is what Jesus said. It's in red. You know, maybe the black writing in the Bible in here, when it's in black print, I don't know if you can believe that part of it, you know, but this red stuff, you can believe it. That's sarcasm, by the way. It's the whole word, but I'm just pointing out Jesus said this. No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one, this is what Jesus said, and love the other, or else he will hold to the one, maybe not hate the one, and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon's just an old King James fashion way of saying money. Number three. Number one was, God wants you to have more money. Number two, it's not just dollars and cents with God. Number three, money will attempt to lead you. Money will attempt to be your boss. And the problem with money being your boss is God says you can't serve. When you're serving somebody, when I have a waiter or a waitress come to my table and they serve me, how do they know what to go get me? Because I tell them, I want water with lemon. I want a Sprite. I want this spaghetti. I want steak. And what do? They listen to me and go do and report back to what I said. Well, what's it talking about serving God and money? He said, you can't serve God and money. Well, how do you serve God? God tells you what to do. You do it or you don't. How do you serve money? Same way. Money's going to tell you what to do. You're either going to do it or you're not. Ooh, wow. It will try to lead you. Well, how does money try to lead you? Get you to do what money says and not what God says. Money will tell you, you can't tithe. God will tell you, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Money will tell you, you can't give above 10%. The Bible will tell you, give and it'll be given back to you. Can't serve two masters. Can't serve two masters. You say, oh, that verse ain't true. I don't tithe. Doesn't mean I don't despise God. Doesn't mean, oh, if you're not doing the word, you despise God. No, Pastor, nope, you're wrong. This is one area you're wrong, Pastor Mike. I love the Lord, but I don't tithe. No, you don't. Pastor Mike. I don't bring offerings, Pastor Mike, and I'm not faithful to tithe, but you can't tell me I don't love the Lord. Well, that's good. I won't tell you that, but Jesus will tell you that. Go to John 14 and verse 15. You ready? John 14 and verse 15. I didn't say it. The Jesus that you're going to stand before someday said this, not your pastor. I'm trying to help you for when you stand before him. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So what could you say on the contrary? If you don't love me, you won't keep my commandments. Michelle, could you pull that up in the Amplified? It really brings it out. If you love me. If you really love me, you will keep and obey my commands. Oh, I love you, Lord. Don't talk about my money. Pastor Mike, how dare you say? Jesus said in the Word, you can't serve God and money. You'll either hate the one, love the other, or hold to the one and despise the other. And your mind, see, the problem is, people justify their actions by their own thinking. No, I don't not love God because I don't tithe. I love God. I don't despise God. Not according to Jesus. And that's the problem. You think on your level and you got to think on his level. Jesus is saying it's a demonstration that you don't love me when you don't listen to me. Ouch! Oh, that's making hurt. That's what the Lord said. I know, we talk about people's money and it's so uncomfortable. But God's, when you understand God is your Father, the tithe and the offering are never to get you into less. Right? He already said, I'll give you power to get wealthy. You know what the power to get wealthy is? The Word! He told you how to do it. He said, I take pleasure when you prosper. So certainly, he can't tell you to do something with your money that's going to lead to your poverty. It's so dumb. The things that the devil gets people to believe is so stupid. Oh, I love you, Lord. Not if you don't obey him. Amen. Now go with me and go back to King James, Michelle, please. Go to Mark chapter 4 and verse 19. Mark chapter 4 and verse 19. Praise God. We need to get some heart things right concerning money. People struggle and struggle financially, and it's unnecessary. Mark 4 and verse 19 says this, and the cares of this world, now notice this, and the deceitfulness of riches. What's it say? Riches are deceitful. One of the main ways that money's going to get you to obey it and not God is it's going to lie to you. It's going to lie to you. I'm telling you, it's going to lie to you. Amen. It's going to lie to you. Praise God. Yeah. Remember, over there in Numbers 23:19, it says that God is not a man that should lie. God is telling you, I don't lie. The Bible is telling you right now, money lies. Well, how do you dispel a lie? You bring it up against truth. When money tells you, and your bills tell you, and your checkbook tells you, and the dollar bill tells you, you can't tithe. The Bible says, God says, bring the tithe. What's God telling you? You can tithe. When God says give, He didn't say if this and this and this. No, He wouldn't tell you to do something you can't do. Money will tell you you can't. The Word will tell you. Now, let me preface this by saying, if you come into God this way and you have a job that keeps you from the house of God and the plan of God, believe God for change. Nobody's telling you to run out and quit your job and put your family on the street. I'm not saying that. But we have people all the time that will take positions and take jobs that take them out of church consistently. And the Word says that they that are planted in the church will be blessed. He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. Jesus said, you need a pastor to hear the Word on the regular. Jesus said, the Word is what you need to hear. And yet people, money will tell them, I got to, Pastor Mike. My money's telling this. You're listening to your money. Now, before you get upset and angry with me, what do you know, Pastor? Well, I'm someone that came from abject poverty, got into the kingdom of God, started learning the things of God, and started doing things God's way, and started seeing things changing. Well, I learned something. Michelle, we pull up Philippians 4:19. You know why people listen to money? It's found in this verse. The Bible says, my God. The same God that's telling you to tithe, the same God that's, I'll get to that at the end, telling you to give offers, the same God that's telling you all this stuff about money that rubs you the wrong way, that makes you very uncomfortable. He said, my God will supply all your needs. Now notice what he says. Sometimes it's easier to see what he does say by seeing what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, my God will supply all our needs according to your money. He didn't say, my God will supply all your needs according to your paycheck. He didn't say, my God will supply all your needs according to what you have in the bank account. That's your problem. Your faith is in the dollar when it should be on God. Why would you have your faith in something that is so uncertain at times and can fluctuate? Ebbs and flows, ups and downs, economy, recession, blessing. You better get your faith. That's what I'm talking about. People that make good money and everything's going good, they let this go out the wayside because they don't have the foresight to see that the Word, when you do the Word, you're blessed, and what Jesus said. Everything's good now. Yeah, but what happens when it hits the fan and you have no seed in the ground and you've not been doing the Word of God? And people will take jobs that pull them out of their place of God. People will take jobs that they're never in church because of it. Because they have to. They got so much. They got to keep this flowing. That's because your faith is in that. But see, your pastor was told to start a church 9 years ago in September in that storefront across the street. And the Lord told me, quit your job. Quit my job? It's a full-time job. I got a baby on the way. It's in her belly. I got a baby on the way, Lord. And this is what the math says. The math says if I quit my job, it's going to be $1,200 of things coming in the mail that we can't pay because her salary won't meet the needs. And you count in baby stuff and gas and groceries and an average for 2 years, $2,000 short a month. Let me tell you what, money did some talking. Money did some talking. You can't do this. You're crazy. What are you doing? You're ruining your family. You can't tithe now. You can't give now. In that time, you know, people would it be led in their heart, family members and different things to bless us. Well, I would tithe on that. And every time I go tithe that, no, you need that 10%. You're struggling so bad. And money's talking. But I can't serve God and money. I have to make my choice. And I choose the one that the Bible says isn't a liar. So how stupid are people that listen to money when the Bible tells you you're being lied to? You know, when Pinocchio's nose started growing, that was a sign he's a liar. You wouldn't listen to him. You'd be a dummy. Oh, I know there's attitudes in here right now. I can see it on some of your faces. Well, I'm just telling you. Wait and see. Wait and see. You're so prideful. Now, I'm picking this up by the Spirit of God. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm telling you. I know it by the Spirit of God. There's some pride bags in here. think you know everything. Someday, when the crash comes, you can come back and I'll help you get built back up. I will. But you're going to think, he warned me about this. He warned me. But you just think right now, you just keep going about your life and doing your thing. I'm telling you, Jesus didn't say anything different than I'm saying you now. He's saying, if you don't do the word in Matthew chapter 7, he said, there's a crash coming for you. He said the same thing Pastor Mike's saying to you. Just you can't see him, so you get mad and angry at me. But I see it on people's faces. I see it in your attitudes. I don't care what you say. Okay, that's fine. You don't have to do what I say. Between you and God, I don't give a rip if you do it or not. I don't give a rip if you do it or not. Did you hear that? I don't care. It's between you and the Lord. But how many times have I had to clean up messes? Because people didn't listen. People didn't listen. They go through the crash unnecessarily. Why? The Bible is the truest thing there is. And it lies to you. Money is a liar. It's a liar. And I got my faith in God. I said, Lord, I need a paycheck. I need you. Paycheck's just a tool. It's just an avenue. Money will try to lead you. Praise God. Go with me to Luke 16 and verse 10. Where's that bun you're talking about? It's coming. It's coming. Y'all looked hungry. I thought we'd just keep piling the meat on. Where's that bun you're talking about? It's coming. Luke 16 and verse 10. So number one, God wants you to have more money. Number two, it's not just dollars and cents. Number three, it'll try to lead you. And the main way it tries to lead you is by lying to you. Number four, what you do with money determines quite a lot. Are you ready? Luke 16:10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust in the much. If, therefore, you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon. What's that? Money. Because then he goes on to say in verse 13, no servant can serve two masters, either serve God or money. But what does he call money? Unrighteous here. Now remember the verse before, he gave us a principle. He said, if you're faithful in much, you'll be faithful in the least. If you're faithful you'll be faithful in much. If you're unjust in the least, you'll be unjust in the much. So he's talking about, in context, something little and something great. The least and the much. Right? And he says the principle is, if I can get you to be faithful in the least, I can trust you in the much. So the context is faith is least and much. Well, then the next verse he says, he that is faithful in that, or if therefore. So he says, if therefore. So this verse is connected to the last one. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Two topics here. The verse before was much and least. Well, so he's going to talk about much and least in the next verse. He said, if therefore. He was using a principle in verse 10 to say, faithful and least should be faithful in much. Unjust and least should be unjust in much. So my principle now is, I'm going to give you two things. Money and true riches. You tell me which one you think God considers much and which one God considers least. It's obvious. Money's deceitful. Money's unrighteous. The true riches are the much. And the least is the money. And look what Jesus said. If you can't even be faithful in what he calls least. Oh, money's the biggest thing. No. In God's eyes, it's least. It's such a small thing, he can't figure out why he won't be faithful. He says, if I can't get you to be faithful, what's faithful? To do what God has said with your money. Come on now. Don't turn this church into a Presbyterian church now. Not turning into that. Get all quiet on me and stoic and no. Trying to get you free financially here. Amen. Stop going out, same mountain, poverty. Trying to keep you from the crash. Amen. Yeah. You know, the Lord's already showed me some things that are unnecessary for people. That if they would just do the Bible and believe the Word of God, wouldn't have to experience, wouldn't have to go through. He does. Shows me things. That's one of the reasons I don't enjoy this job. Some of the things that he shows me and the thoughts that he gives me into people's minds. Some of the things and experiences and shows me what's going to happen down the road because people won't listen. I hate that part of it. Lord, no. All be solved by doing the Bible. That's what Jesus said. If you can't be faithful with money to do what God says, you'll never walk into the true riches. What are true riches? True riches? Honor of God. The favor of God on your life. The overall blessing of God on your life. God using you. True riches. Things that are way better than money. Said, I can't trust you with those things. I can't trust you to tell you things that would need to be kept and held by a faithful person because you're unfaithful in money. When you don't bring your money and be faithful to what God has said to do it, he looks at you and says, unqualified. I can't trust them. They can't even be faithful in what I consider to be the least, which is money. I know in your mind it's not the least. In God's mind, it's the least. Well, I think that's enough meat. Actually, no, that's not. Let's throw some else on there. Let's throw some cheese on there. Real quick, Proverbs 11:24, and then we'll close with the next point. Proverbs 11:24. And look what the Word says. Now remember, God says to be faithful with your money. That means he must tell you what to do with it. So don't think this up on our own. What does that mean to be faithful? He tells you. He gives it in the Word. And we'll talk about that in the last point. But he says there is a person, talking about a person, that scatters. What's scatter mean? Given out of themselves, right? Which would naturally, on the surface, if you have a bag of something and you're scattering it, it would seem in the natural like your bag's going down. But the Bible says that the one that scatters increases. And there is that withholds more than is meet. That word meet means more than is right. Well, what's right? The Word is right. The person that withholds, this is just more future telling for the people that won't do the Word. Well, things are great right now. I can see my house, see my bank account. That's fine. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. The Word will come to pass in your life. Pastor, this isn't very uplifting. Oh, I'm trying to save you from the danger that I've experienced with people over and over and over again. And that's not, I'm not just standing up here saying things to put a blanket of, trying to be make some point here and be super, spectacular up here to drive home a point. I'm telling you the truth on things. There is it scatters, increases, and there's it holds more than right. What's more than right? The tithe, the offering, and whatever God tells you to do in your heart. If God tells you to do something, you don't do it. You're withholding more than is right. But it tendeth or leads. That's what tends means. It will lead to poverty. It seems like, oh, I keep the tithe. That's why I'm going to increase. That's not what God said. He said, you withhold more than is right. It will lead to poverty. You don't do the Word, it will lead to a crash. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. You don't do the blessing of the Lord, it will lead to sorrow. Proverbs 10:22. That's just what the Word says. Hallelujah. What does it say in verse 25? The liberal soul, that's the giver, will be made fat, and he that waters will be watered himself. Praise God. Oh, man. People withhold more than is right. They're not faithful in the area of money. You're not faithful with money, that's the least. Can't trust you with that. Yeah, it's like the time I told Caleb, he started to learn to shoot 22s, shot his first deer with a 243. It's a bigger rifle, and he's getting guns from his grandpa, getting guns from his dad. I just bought him a 20 gauge for turkey hunting, and Grandpa Scott thought that was too big, so he bought him a 410. He said, no, you can't have him shoot that. Said, he'd be fine, but Grandpa Scott said, I was just getting more guns, He wanted to go out hunting with dad, wanted to do all those things with dad, but you know what? You better be faithful with that Nerf gun in the house and not be pointing out of my face. You better be faithful in that Nerf gun and don't be shooting that. I don't know if you've ever seen how fast those Nerf guns go nowadays, but you don't want to catch one of those in the eye. Yeah. Don't we talk about it, buddy? Yeah. You can't be faithful with a Nerf gun? You think I'm going to put a shotgun in your hands? The Nerf gun's least in comparison to what he wants to do. And God's saying, you want me to do this for you? And I can't even trust you in the least? Okay, we can get to the bun now. Here comes the bun. Now, you might not think it's a bun, but it's a bun. Because what I'm going to say puts the onus on you, but I want to show you and focus on what God says you can have. The main way to prosperity, The main avenue to getting more money, that God, we already said, the first bun, God wants you to have more money. The main way is through the area of giving. Now, you're thinking, that's not a bun. The giving's the whole thing I'm having trouble with. No. Through your mind, what's the word say? Malachi 3 and verse 8. I'm going to go down through some scriptures real fast because we want to get done here. I know Nettie, she's got like scalloped potatoes and what else, Nettie? Salad and chocolate cake, lemon cake. Well, this, I mean, there's no way other family churches are doing this. I mean, you don't know how good you got it with this hospitality crew and what she cooks. You ought to be thanking her and blessing her. Yeah, I'll say it. You ought to give her some money, her and Mark some money. They don't. They hardly ever will give me receipts for stuff. Y'all just slip them some money sometimes and say, thank you for blessing us. Hallelujah. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Will a man rob God? That seems dumb. Yet you have robbed me, but you say, where have we robbed you, Lord? Tithes and offerings. People don't like to hear this. People don't like to hear this stuff because it's hard to get that down and digest it. But the Lord, in the Lord's eyes, when you withhold more than is meet or more than is right, he says, you're robbing me. And naturally, in your own head, you think, oh, we'll never rob God. You do every week. Every time you get a paycheck, and 10% doesn't go to him, and an offering doesn't go to him, you're a robber. You're a robber, but you want God to move on your life, and you want God to bless you, and you're believing God for big things. Usually, the bank robber that holds the gun up to the teller and says, stick him up, at the same time is not saying, I think you could also help me out in my personal life here, and you think you could do something for me? No, just take. Will a man rob God? Go to verse 10. Now look at this. I don't know why people can't read and understand this, but he says, bring the tithes to the storehouse. Where's the storehouse? There'll be meat in my house. That's the church. My house, the church, the house of God. And prove me now herewith. So what's the number one reason he wants a tithe? Because God doesn't need your money, but the plan down here does. Sinners aren't dropping it off. He always calls people to take care of it. He says, bring all the tithes to the storehouse that there be meat in my house so that there's provision in the house of God. But most people's Bibles, the rest of the verse must be whited out. They must just see bring the tithe because to take care of the church. And I'm here to tell you, if that's all it said, I'd still bring my tithe. Why? I love the church. I love the house of God. I want God's plan to go forth. But it doesn't stop there. He says, prove me. What's God saying? I double dog dare you to put me to the test. I dare you to see if I'm truthful or not. Put them to the test. If I will not open you, the tithers, windows of heaven, the windows of heaven need to be opened up. How does the windows of heaven get opened up? The tithe, ladies and gentlemen, is the beginning to prosperity. It's not the end. It's the beginning. Without the tithe, you know what you are? You're that little birdie that when I was at my in-law's house, they had that big picture window and the TV's behind it, and I kept hearing this. The heck is that? And there's a bird. Bam, 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 trying to get through that window, and it's closed. Hear God saying, bless them. Bam. Bless them. Bam. Why? The windows haven't been opened yet. How do you open the windows? Through the tithe. Whoop. It's the beginning to prosperity. Prosperity like you've never known before. And see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there won't be room enough to receive it. Amen. And money will tell you you can't. And God's saying, what the heck's wrong with you? I'm God. I'm telling you what's going to happen. Might not happen overnight. Might not happen after a week. Might not happen after 2 months. It's going to happen. Why? God can't lie. God can't lie. You stay faithful, God will do his part. Amen. Proverbs 3 and verse 9, we looked at this earlier. Why am I standing up here? I don't know. It feels good. Let's do this. How about this? Maybe this will become a new thing. Proverbs 3 and verse 9, I don't know. It just feels good. Proverbs 3 and verse 9, honor the Lord with the substance of the fruits of all your increase. Oh, boy, that sounds so hard. But there's a 10. Go to 10, please. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses will burst out with new wine. What's he saying? You honor me with your substance, your increase, and your in the first fruits of your increase, and I'm going to increase you beyond what you can imagine. Overflow's coming to you. This is bun stuff. Because people always say, yeah, I want more money. Yeah, I need more increase. Yeah, I want more provision. I'm telling you how to get it. We already looked at Proverbs 11:24, so we won't go there. Go back to Luke 6:38. I'm almost done. Give me a couple minutes. Luke 6:38. You know, we didn't start preaching until 10:45. I've only been going for 45 minutes. Some of your favorite TV shows are an hour. I'm not saying I'm going to go for an hour, but just give me a break. Luke 6:38. Look what he says in Luke 6:38. Give. Now, again, I think that most people's Bibles must have the rest of the verse whited out. And they just hear give. Give? No, there's more verse there. And it. What's the it? Whatever you gave. He says, it will be given back to you. You don't have to cry when that 20 goes in the offering. Oh, my 50. Or, who is it, Benjamin Franklin on the 100? Is that who it is? Yes or no? That's what they call them, the Benjamins, right? That's what the rappers say in their songs. The Benjamins. I think they're talking about the hundreds. Does anyone not know if Benjamin Franklin's on the 100? He is. Yes, he is. Thank you, James Mays. Oh, Benji. Oh, Benji. It's been so nice having you. I've been staring at you and squeezing the living daylights out of you. Bye, Benji. The usher's trying to, you're just, Benji. The Bible says, you give that Benji, and guess what? Benji's coming back to you. Yes. But he's not going to look the same.
That's right.
See, yeah. Come on. Kids come back from summer camp different. When I give my Benji, I say, I'll see you, buddy. When you come back, you're going to look a little different, but I'll see you when you get back. Because the Bible says give, and it will be given back to you. How? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You don't have to cry about Benji going away. He's coming back, but he's going to look bigger and better. That's what God says. And yet people, don't talk to me about my money, Pastor Mike. You're getting help today, whether you know it or not. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. If you'd meditate on this, giving and tithing would be easy. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I meant 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. I'm talking about Barnabas. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly, just a little bit, that's what you're going to reap. He which soweth bountifully, guess what the God says? You get to reap bountifully. So guess who the harvest depends on? Not him. Well, I just sure wish he'd give me more money. Do something about it. Amen. I need more money. Do something about it. Galatians 6 and verse 9. It's all throughout here. That's why I don't understand why people struggle with this. God put so much in here. Galatians 6 and verse 9. Now, I don't have time, but in context... Michelle, go to verse 7. In context, in the verse before, he talks about being taught the word and sowing financially when you hear the word. And so he's talking financially. Now, this principle, sowing and reaping, works for anything. You know, you sow strife, you're going to reap strife. You sow forgiveness and mercy, you're going to reap forgiveness and mercy. But it works financially too. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. I can't stand what I'm reaping. Change your sowing. I'm reaping so little. Change your sowing. It's not working for me. Change. 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 You know what the definition of insanity is, right? Doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again and hoping to expect something different. People keep banging their heads on poverty. Hitting the door. Hitting the window. Change. And we'll close with this. 1 Kings 17 and verse 9. Pastor, but I'm struggling. I'm hurting financially. Your way out of your financial mess is through this avenue of giving. You say, no, Pastor Mike, that can't be. Oh, it can be. 1 Kings 17 and verse 9. Here we go. 1 Kings 17 verse 9. This is God talking to the prophet Elijah. Arise and get to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain you. So God speaks to the prophet, says, go down to Zidon. There's a widow woman there. She's going to take care of you. So he arose, verse 10, went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Yes, I will address that thought because it came up last night. For those of you that think, well, this is just a message, so we'll give more. Well, it will bless you. You're just after our money. Let me first say one or two things. If you think that about me, you're in the wrong church. Why would you be at a place that you think your pastor's a swindler? Number two, I started this church in South Dayton, New York, that has a population of 600 people. And the only people committed to my church, Courtney and Caleb, and he didn't have a say because he was in her belly. But he was committed. How many people you got in your church? Two and a half. Two and a half. Got two and a half. He's in there. He's like a bowling ball. He came out 9 pounds some ounces, man. I'll tell you what, he's a bowling ball. And started this church with zero money. Walked away from money to obey God. For 2 years, I went with no salary. With a baby, $2,000 short a month. I want what you get, Pastor Mike. Would you be willing to do what Pastor Mike does? Most people wouldn't. Obey God no matter what. I don't care about money. I'll walk away. Lord knows my bags are packed. You want me to sell my house? You want me to sell my vehicle? You want me to go somewhere far off and start a church? The biggest thing God could tell me to do would be now to either go to China or Africa or New York City. I'll do it, Lord. He knows my bags are packed. Anything you say, Father. Anything you say. So people that think, oh, you're after my money. Listen. Church has done well and good without your money. And I don't know who's giving and who's not. I don't look through the offerings. So that thought that the devil's giving you, that I'm after your money, it's garbage. It's not true. I told you already, I shouted out of the mic, I don't give a rip if you do this or not. I care about you and I want you to be blessed, but it's not going to change my blessing. Why? God doesn't meet my needs according to the people. He meets my needs according to His riches and glory. Amen. 1 Kings 17, so he wrote... where were we at? Verse 10. So he arose, went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray, a morsel of bread in my hand. He's hungry. Well, God told him, she's your provision. So he expects her to provide for him. That's what God said. And she said, now you tell me what kind of financial position she's in. As the Lord thy God lives, I don't have a cake. But a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it, make it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. One meal left for this woman. Has no money to go buy more food. No provision. She says, I got one meal left. I can't give you. I can't give is what she's saying. He's saying give. Pastor Mike's saying give. The word is saying give. And people are saying, but I got this bill. But my spouse says this. But my job says this. But my income says this. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. And the prophet said unto her, stop being afraid. I'm here to tell all of you people that won't tithe, stop being afraid. The spirit of fear is not from God. It's from the devil. And the devil just wants to steal, kill, and destroy from you. So whatever thought you're getting that's making you not tithe and give, that's you're fearful if I start doing that, it's a lie from the pit of hell. And Elijah says, stop being afraid. That's not from God. Stop it. Praise God. Fear not and go do as you have said, but you make me food first. You give. That's what the prophet's saying. And most people on the outside would criticize him. Just like most people have left this church because of tithing and criticize me. Oh, he's money-minded. It's all he cares about. It's all he talks about. Go ahead, say what you want about me. But the people that do it are going to walk into blessings. Don't give a rip. He says, go make me one first. He says, I don't care what your situation is. God told me that it's right that you give. Now give. Don't sit here with your sad stories about why you can't tithe. I don't care about them. All God said is to give, and God's word is bigger and better and the best thing for you. The worst thing I can do as your pastor, I understand, don't tithe. I understand, don't give. No! The prophet looked at a widow woman who said, I have one meal left. I don't care about what you're going through. The answer to your help is obeying God. Yeah. Go and do as you have said, but make me one first and bring it to me. And after you gave, make one for you and your son. Man, they would have had a field day with him on the news. He didn't care. He didn't care. Paul stood up and told the Corinthian church that was taking up the offering. He said, you give little, you're going to get little. And the offering was for him. You give little, you're going to get little. You give a lot, you'll get a lot. Amen. Imagine that if all, you know, I know that there have been times Pastor Scott has, you know, by the leading of the Spirit, had people take up an offering for me. Can you imagine how your head would spin if I was listening to that by live stream? Texted him and say, hold up, tell people to pause. And I ran in here before they took the offering. I said, I just wanted to remind you, before you give to me today, if you only give me a little, you're only going to get a little. And I want to remind you that if you give me a lot today, you'll get a lot back. Paul, that's what Paul did in 2 Corinthians 9. I just want to tell you, he was so sparingly, because he didn't care. He knew he was just trying to do the best for the people. And Elijah made it look like he's being self-serving. No, 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 no. He's trying to get her into something. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, verse 14, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, which was the saying of God. And she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail. It kind of sounds like increase and windows being open and it coming back bigger. Amen. That's what I'm trying to get over to you. Tithe. I dare you to start tithing. I mean regularly. As soon as you get that change, don't pay your bills first. 10% to God. And then, Lord, what should I give in an offering? Because he said tithes and offerings. I dare you to start doing it. I dare you to be faithful to start doing it and watch what will happen in your life. Kids, I'm telling you the same thing. You work a job, you get birthday money, Christmas money, tithe on it. You'll be the blessed ones of the family. God's not a liar. God's not a liar. I dare you to step out and give more. I dare you this morning to step out and do what God says and just trust him. Either he's trying to lead you into the worst life you ever had or trying to lead you into the best life you ever had and turn some things around for you. See, you think your disobedience with money only would affect money situations. You're wrong. Disobedience of the word will affect your marriage. It'll affect your health. It'll affect your mind. It'll affect your favor. It'll affect all areas because it gives the devil an inroad. It doesn't just affect your money. You know what's amazing? I was driving here and the Lord gave me this, and well, I made sure to push it for an hour. It's almost 11:45. I did it. I was driving here this morning. I thought about a red light. You know how many green lights? I try to make a habit of looking left and right. It's wise to do it. But you know how many green lights I've just gone through without looking left or right and left? That's right. That's left. Without looking. How many of you ever just go through a green light and, oh, it's green. I just go. You know why you go through that green light? Because you have faith in something you can't see. You put your life on the line for something you can't see every time you go through a green light. And don't slow down and look. Every time you go right through that thing, you have in faith that what? The light on the other side that you can't see is red. Even though you can't see what's on the other side of that, you put your faith in it. If we do that for a stinking traffic light, and God says, go through, are you with me? Go through the intersection of tithing. I know you can't see. You think you're going to get T-boned on the other side. Go through the intersection of tithing. Go through the intersection of giving. Go through the intersection of following the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, children, you can't see it. But on the other side of that is blessing. And see, you believe that about a traffic light. You go right through the light because you believe on the other side it's the right color. You believe that with all your heart. Your faith is in that light. You can't even see it. And there you go, right through. And if you get T-boned, bye-bye. But you have faith in it, don't you? How much more the Word of God? Well, were you helped? Amen. Amen. Father, we love you and praise you this morning. We thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I pray that people will be stirred up. Enough's enough. Enough's enough. Money affects so many things. the faithfulness with it affects so many things. True riches in your home. Yeah, Lord, that's pointing that out to me. True riches with your kids being blessed, your home being blessed. True riches. Those are true riches. Money doesn't compare to that. There's people that have all the money in the world, and they're the most miserable, depressed. They're addicted to things. They're broke down. They're hurting. They don't have the true riches. And the avenue into the true riches is through money. Oh, Lord, it would fix so many things. It would help so many things. Father, I pray that this message today would burn in them. And Father, that they would step out and actually obey you and say, enough's enough. Either you're a liar or you're not, Father. And I'm staking my life on this salvation thing, so I'm going to stake my money on it too. And you watch what God will do for you. I remember the feeling of being nervous. I remember the feeling of you give and there's that 10%'s gone, that offering's gone, and it looks like, oh, how am I going to make it? How am I going to make it? How am I going to make it? And then God shows up and does what he says he'll do, and you get addicted to this stuff, and you get hooked on giving, and you get hooked on tithing. And you want to be so generous because you know it's being a blessing, but you know it's just helping yourself. Father, I pray that's what will burn in people. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, please nobody looking around. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. That's why I asked nobody to look around. Everybody that can hear my voice, including those online right now or those listening in the future via the archive there that we put on there, ask yourself, if today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Because someday you're going to have a last day on planet Earth. And there is another side. It's called eternity. When I ask myself, would I go to heaven? I know 100% without a doubt I will go to heaven. And you might say to yourself, Pastor, how can you be so sure? How do you know? Because I did what God said to do. The world has such a wrong view of how to get to heaven or what keeps you out of heaven. People think if you don't have perfect church attendance, you can't go to heaven. That's just a lie. People think if you've done something wrong in your life and maybe you have some dirty laundry in your past that you're not good enough. That's a lie. People think, well, is about giving a certain amount of money. No, you don't ever have to give any money to go to heaven. None. It's about doing what Jesus said. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. You just go through him. And the easiest way to see it was when Jesus was on the cross, there was a guy on his left, a guy on his right. They were dying because they were criminals. And the one criminal mocked and made fun of Jesus. And the other criminal, who was on the cross because he wasn't a very good person. He wasn't very moral. He wasn't what you call a good churchgoer. He was a bad person, naturally, what the world would call a bad person. Because he was dying because he was a criminal. A criminal is not morally a good person. They have some things wrong with their morals. And he looked at Jesus and he said, I believe in you. And Jesus didn't say, sorry, you don't go to church enough. Jesus didn't say, sorry, you didn't give enough money. Jesus didn't say, sorry, you've been too bad of a guy. Nope, Jesus just said, you're in. You're in. You're saved. Hallelujah. And that's what he's saying to you here this morning. If you're here this morning, there's only two qualifications of getting into heaven. Church isn't one of them. Money isn't one of them. Good deeds outweighing your bad isn't one of them. The two qualifications to get into heaven are, number one, you believe in Jesus. That doesn't mean you have to know everything about him or fully understand everything. You won't fully understand everything in your mind. But in your heart of hearts, you can say, Pastor, I believe in Jesus. That's number one. Jesus said, if you believe on me, you'll not perish but have everlasting life. The second thing is you have to ask him into your heart. He won't barge the door down, bust the door down. The Bible says he knocks on your heart. Why? He wants you to open the door. The next step is to receive him. And that's simple. You don't have to become a member of this church. You never have to step foot in this church ever again. But don't leave here today or turn your computer off or however you're listening to this right now without receiving Jesus. It's so simple. It's a free gift. Maybe that's not what religion's taught you. Maybe that's not what people have said to you, but that's what the Bible says. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around, I won't have anybody come forward, stand up, or say anything on your own. If you're here today and you can say, Pastor, I want to go to heaven. I'm not sure I would, or I think I would. I don't know. And it's simple and free. Nobody's looking around. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Don't let this moment pass you by. If you want to receive Jesus this morning and know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven, again, you're not committing to this church. You're just committing to Jesus. With heads bowed, eyes closed, if you're in the service and you want to receive Jesus, would you just lift your hand in the air and put it right back down? Anybody at all before we close the service this morning? Again, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're not trying to embarrass anybody or point anybody out. This is between you and God. Is there anybody at all? Sometimes people are shy, you know. Sometimes people, God works on their heart. Anybody before we close the service this morning that wants to receive the Lord? Again, you're not coming to this church. You're saying, I believe in Jesus. I want to receive him. Anybody at all, before we close, lift your hand in there and put it right back down. Anybody at all? Father, I don't see any hands in here. But Lord, I know that when I remember myself being in that situation on the other side in one of the seats, I certainly didn't want to raise my hand. Well, thank you, Lord. It's not about raising our hands. So if you're here this morning, you say, I do want to receive Jesus. I do want to go to heaven. I do believe in Him, but I didn't want to raise my hand. That's fine. I can't see the people that are raising their hand online anyways. It's not about raising your hand. So if you are here this morning and you say, I want to receive Jesus, all you need to do is get alone with Him and simply say, Lord, I believe in You. I believe You died and rose again. And I ask You to come into my heart. If you pray that for the first time, shoot me an email, give me a phone call, or if you're in this service you did, just come up to me and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to receive Jesus. Let's go ahead and pray the sinner's prayer. If you're here and you want to receive Jesus but you didn't raise your hand, this is your opportunity. The whole church, let's go ahead and pray, inviting Jesus into our heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that You died on the cross for my sin. And I believe that You rose from the dead. And I ask You to come into my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can look up here. First of all, thank you for your patience today. I normally do not preach till 10 of 12. But this was good stuff. We got into some things. I believe we pulled some stumps today. Stump pulling. People have got some stumps that need pulled out. Well, you don't just go and yank out a stump. That's got to get that stump out. It's hard to get it out. But if you prayed that for the first time, just come up to me in private and say, Pastor, I prayed that for the first time. I just want to, you know, tell you some things about what that means for your life and going forward. But let's stand to our feet and worship God as we go. Father, thank You. Thank You for our help. We got to get some things right concerning money. We thank You for our help here this morning. Lord, we praise You and glorify You. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You are dismissed. Hallelujah.